Hey, audio listener, you know there's video, right? Now, I get it. Some of you are on the road, so you have to download this, take it with you on a plane. Some of you read through Braille, so this is your only option. But for other people, there are exclusive sketches and visual elements. This is a nightly show over there on YouTube or for Mug Club members. LatterWithCredder.com/Mug Club. The show is daily beyond the clips that you just get on YouTube or here on iTunes. It's $99 for the year, $69 annually. LatterWithCredder.com/Mug Club. But I get it. You're an audio-only guy or gal. There is no changing your mind. Enjoy the show.
Louder with Crowder Studios. Protected exclusively by Walther.
And Hopper.
Now for a trip inside Trump World's Hall of Mirrors.
Hey, Steven, heads up.
We're going to need you in 15 for the trio PT.
Okay, thanks, Quarter Black.
Oh, yeah, and I put some extra mushrooms on that Swiss there for you. I know you like them, so.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
It made me wonder, at the end of a long week, was this a lie too? But this, now, the Trump presidency, this is what a crisis of leadership looks and feels like.
Hey, Quarter Black?
Every week, another scandal.
Where'd you
say
you got these mushrooms again?
From a fan. Mug Clubber from Colorado.
Rudy Giuliani, you see him there on Hannity. This week, I have to look at some of the internet on the screen.
To the top of the slot, where I stop and I take all my bits for a ride. Then I hit rock bottom and I see you again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you, don't you want me to screw you? I'm making up crap that I can't sell you. Tell me, tell me, tell me. Come on, tell me.
Jeez.
Fabricating fake news, waiting for the axe to come. Corporations have shirt fake news, bloody lackey. Man, I've been a naughty boy, I got my sources wrong.
Steven.
I've been thinking about that.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out
you ready?
What is new. I think the answer is the
yeah, I was just
reporters are revealing
and you were
lies one by one.
No, yeah, I'm good.
Stormy Daniels made a cameo.
Are you feeling all right?
Same for Dr.
Oh my God!
Parody by SNL. That's the president's former.
Yes.
This is all I can do today because I had a back spasm in the morning and I could barely move and or walk. So I do
this. I have meds.
But it looks like a more active dance with my chair. I do this.
He's actually in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, actually, Quarter Black Garrett sits in a wheelchair at his edit bay.
I do.
Yes.
He chooses to sit in a wheelchair. Why is that?
They made it for comfort. It's long-lasting sitting.
He's not wrong.
Quick escape.
Well, I think that's a gross violation of
it's appropriation.
The special needs labor laws, the Handicap Act. What is a special handicap? I don't know. Hey, we have Brian Callen on the show today.
Yeah,
we're going to be talking about the New York Times new 1619 project and Spike Lee and the idea that the United States was built on slavery, racism, and genocide. But first, there's this.
Donald Trump, don't trust China. China is asshole.
God, true words never spoken.
Did you like my flag there?
Can we show it one more time? One more time.
Hit it again.
Donald Trump, don't trust China. China is asshole.
That's what I've been saying. You get me. You understand me, Ming.
I want the unbleeped version. I really do.
So anyway, okay, question of the day. The left is obviously pivoting from Russian collusion now to Trump racism slavery because election cycle's heating up.
Right, no kidding.
Here's a genuine question. Do you think Donald Trump is a racist, or do you think there's actually been a rise in racism under Trump? I think he's a lot of things. I think there are a lot of valid criticisms. I don't think he's a racist. Don't buy it.
Nope.
My half-Asian lawyer, Bill Richmond, is with me. How are you, sir?
Wonderful.
Boom.
Glad to be here.
The guy who helped me light up Rashid Tlaib's Twitter, but not in a terrorist way. Quarter Black Garrett, show him your hood pass.
What's up, Dom?
And G. Morgan Jr., what's up?
How you doing, man?
You have a wine
I don't have a wine of the day. I know. It's weird.
Today's wine of the day is Percocet. He's going in for
it should be the wine of the day every day.
Surgery, you won't be with us next week.
No, I know. I'm going to be on my back.
A hard time.
Stop it.
Yeah, I know. We're not going to go right away. We started off with the Chinese guy. I don't think we need to go
We'll let him take the
dirty
brunt.
Jokes. But I wish you the best. I really do hope that you recover quickly.
I do too.
And that you maybe afterwards you won't be weak as a kitten. Yeah. Leading the news.
I'd like to be able to feel my right leg. That's all I want.
Alyssa Milano opened up about two abortions that she had in 1993, and that's two more in the same year than someone who had no abortions. If you're doing the math. The former actress, this comes to us from People, so you know it's reliable. The former actress stated she had not had the two abortions. Had she not, life would be completely lacking all its great joys, and she, quote, would never have been able to be free to be myself.
Wow.
Would never been free to be myself.
Wow.
By herself, she means angry whore, by the way. In her defense, she understood pregnancy to be impossible from a casting couch. How do you
get... Oh, my God.
She said she was using birth control two pregnancies in a year. What was your diaphragm, a powdered donut?
Oh, my gosh.
The negative space of the donut.
Yes.
that we were discussing.
Kind of counterpoint.
What is she talking about? Charmed? She never would have been able to film that show, Charmed? It just shows a complete
lack
of...
Not worth it.
Yeah.
What was it, Gone Overboard with Ray Liotta?
Oh, my gosh. There's just so many bad ones. It shows a complete lack of compassion.
Yeah.
And has she never met someone with a child who's just like, I can't believe every day's a new adventure and I'm overjoyed? Like, there's no joy possible.
Yeah,
like
if she would have had the baby and it was a baby, she would have melted and loved it.
Look, there's a silver lining here, which is that there's no baby Alyssa Milano walking around, right? I mean, you know, not
don't trust baby Alyssa Milano. Baby Alyssa Milano.
Does she have kids now?
I have no idea.
I hope not.
If she does, they're probably going to need some serious therapy.
Yeah.
Another top. But, Mom, you said you would have never been fulfilled or been able to be yourself. No, no, but I didn't mean about you.
Mommy's
this
crazy.
Other baby.
I tell you, your mom is
Another top story, by the way. It appears that President Trump, this was all over the news.
Yes.
He's growing increasingly frustrated with Fox News. This comes from Politico after some critical coverage, unfavorable poll numbers from what used to be his preferred network. The president said there's something going on. Fox has changed, and I'm not happy with it.
Not happy.
So it's gotten worse over the week with a source actually telling us that I think an aide. With a source, it's usually just an aide.
Yeah.
We're like, what's the source?
An unnamed source.
An unnamed aide.
Yeah.
But apparently an aide did tell President Trump that if you want something done right, and he took the advice, do it yourself.
Mm. Hi, President Trump, and welcome to the real No Spin Zone. Okay, frankly, I have not been very happy with this network. They've said that it's no spin, but there has honestly been so much spin. It's crazy. Okay, not here, though. No spin. No. Now, if you want fake news, go watch that lying, melty face Chris Wallace, okay? But here's just the real news with no spin. You hear me? None. Now, some people want to talk about the economy, but the lying fake news wants to claim we're in a recession. They don't want you to talk about China and knock it off. Okay, frankly, there is to be zero spin on this show, none. And what you're doing, truthfully, okay, is not that. Now, as it relates to the economy of China and trade, and cut it out, okay? No, cut it out, okay? This is a zone with not even some spinning, okay? None. Now, I think we have Brett Baer standing by. Where's Brett? Oh, I see what's going on here. It's a spin mutiny. Okay, real funny. Frankly, so funny. Frankly, I forgot to laugh because I was never going to laugh anyway. You like jokes? Everyone here likes jokes? Okay, here's one. You're fired. You. Definitely you.
That was to be expected.
You do get sick spinning. Yeah.
Half Asian Bill seems unsettlingly.
No. I mean, job security, you know?
Right.
Oh my gosh.
This is sad. In other words, the inventor of the computer password actually has died at age 93.
Oh, no, man,
per his request, his epitaph will include at least one number, one capital letter, and one special character.
Oh my gosh. No. Is this the same guy who makes us change our password every 90 days?
Yes.
I'm a little bit pissed off.
Also, you know, it's
I can
sad.
Only come up with so many good ones.
They go in threes because another happened this week. The inventor of the pocket calculator died as well. Age of 60, really? 86, heart and kidney failure. And Lotto with Crowder has obtained a picture of his headstone in question. So when it's upside down, there are so many possibilities.
It's a classic.
Namely ones that revolve around boobs. That's pretty much the only possibility. Yeah. Switching gears now to the race for the White House, Elizabeth Warren addressed a Native American forum talking about her past transgressions, admitting that she had made some mistakes.
I know that I have made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I am sorry for harm I have caused.
Can someone get this broad a smallpox blanket? It is just...
She's
if you ever needed
so
one.
So whispery in that. She's like...
That's how you know it's sincere.
Yeah.
For
how great
her,
would it be just
pillow
the audience?
Talk.
Don't trust 1,064 Native Americans. See,
hey, the Native Americans, you know, Bering Strait, they're Haitians. They're our second cousins.
That's true.
So,
yeah. That's
you
true.
Know?
And by the way, to prove her mettle, after the speech, Warren smoked a peace pipe, cleaned up at the craps table, and scalped Cory Booker. So it seems like she's...
That's a silver lining, really.
And she said Indian like five times in her
speech.
Did she
really?
She did.
Yeah, I'm sitting there like, what?
I thought that was...
Only
that was
off the table.
Those in the 1,164th Native American community can say Indian.
Oh, really? It's like that.
I'm ready. I'm ready for the counter protests. Like let's go.
Right. And by the way, she's the most viable Democratic candidate in the place. Really?
She's about as viable as Alyssa Milano's baby. DOA.
Which one?
Well, at least we don't have to deal with Cory Booker anymore. I guess that's fine.
So another news of the state of California is, and by the way, we're going to be talking about New York Times, slavery, genocide, Spike Lee, notorious anti-Semite, but we're going to California
racist.
Here. See, this is the beauty of your imagination, is we can whisk you to faraway lands.
Yes.
Like California. Reportedly, they're planning to build a bridge over a major freeway so wildlife has room to roam. This comes from HuffPo. The plan is so
priorities.
Big cats, deer, lizards, other creatures, including cougars, have a safe route to open space and better access to food and potential mates. Officials in California are hoping this will fix both their endangered species problem as well as their annoying cyclist pandemic. So that seems like a way to dig yourself out of your financial hole, California.
I know, right? That
you have
wonderful.
People sh-ing in the streets. You've bankrupt your state, but your solution is to allow carnivorous predators more territory to wreak havoc.
Exactly.
That's how you solve it.
That
I
sounds
love
like
it.
A meal
it's
right
brilliant.
There. By the way, so you remember watching The West Wing. The West Wing actually did this as part of one of their episodes. It was like a wolves-only highway for Pluey, right? Or whatever it was. Mm. They did it as parody, and they're Dems, and they were laughing at it. Now this is California going, yeah, that actually sounds like a good idea. We should do that.
By the way, have you been watching Billions? So in international news,
I'm already caught up, Steven.
A waiter
the season's
in France was shot dead for being too slow. Comes from The Guardian. Witness said the gunman lost his temper as his sandwich wasn't prepared quickly enough and fled the scene. This happened in France. Any description of the assailant was completely omitted from the reporting, which made it difficult for the police sketch artist. But he gave it the old college try. So it seems like that's a safe bet.
I can find that guy.
Reasonable.
In the attacker's defense, the French attacker's defense, he did it. He had enough time to head over to the mosque, buy a gun, get back to the restaurant, and the sandwich still wasn't ready. To be fair, he had a leg up because he picked the gun up at the mosque. So the old mosque show loophole strikes again.
Just like the tortoise.
Look, I'm sorry, but if you've been to France, that might be a justifiable homicide. They're incredibly slow.
You mean
slow.
Just all of France?
All of France.
Any part of France.
They're incredibly slow. The service is like you've got to just be.
Have you
crazy slow?
You went to France on your honeymoon. Yeah.
Slow.
Yeah, I don't know why. Well, yeah. The counterbalance, the honeymoon, which was too quick. Have you been to France?
I have not been to France.
No?
Nope. Everywhere
that is not true. Ask my wife.
Okay. All right.
Don't ask my wife.
Whoa. Speaking of Europe, finally a town in Wales. I'll ask Lyle later. A town in Wales is installing
Ashley
$200,000 anti-sex toilets. This comes from Barstool Sports because we just want to use them as a source to throw them a little bit of support. These days, the public toilets, an actual quote, the public toilets have weight sensors that can determine if more than one person has entered, and additional sensors are designed to pick up activity described as violent.
Wow.
So if this plan fails to stop bathroom intercourse, plan B is to roll out the Brian Stelter sex scarecrow, and that's...
I am not having sex
Nothing
in that stall.
Nothing will dry you up and make you limp like Brian Stelter scarecrow.
Oh, very effective. No, that's I could the wonder tagline. Why no. I have a time show.
So describing
totally
violent,
straight, by the way.
By the way,
yeah.
Mexican
Allegedly.
Food can sometimes make me have a experience
this
in a bathroom.
Is just disgusting.
I mean, come on, that's true.
This
true
is a family
everybody.
I don't need
come
to
on.
Think
family
about
show.
This.
What does this mean?
Hey, what's yep. what's this thing next to my mug?
That's a Seagal button.
I'm gonna hit it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just. Billable hours, Bill.
Wow. Yep.
Billable
That's
hours.
What we're doing.
This is me.
That's the slappy slap maneuver. That's ancient Chinese technique right there.
Yes,
the slappy
is.
Slap yeah. maneuver.
Yeah. No, it was he was the first. I was the first to have a dojo in Japan. You stole it.
From someone who
he
had
married
it.
A woman whose father had a dojo and was retiring, and then he married Kelly LeBrock while he was married to this Japanese woman.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's thinking ahead.
Trivia, he said, I don't think that's true. Yeah, it is, Stephen.
No.
I'd watch my
doubts.
Tongue. Bad things happen.
Really?
What are you
going
to do?
Run through my north wall like you did to the guy who was having cockfighting and then Steven Seagal in that episode. Anyway, sorry, we've gotten off track.
Wow. Yeah.
He's just a horrible person.
But I digress.
Trivia contest winner, by the way, before we get to the 1619 project, is Regina C. I don't have her last name, who correctly identified
Regina.
That her former office used to be a massage parlor.
Congrats.
That is 100%
really?
True.
Yeah.
Yes, an untoward
right.
massage parlor.
It was.
We found out because our neighboring, neighboring businesses, they came in like, what are you guys doing? And they saw the green screen.
Yeah.
Guarantee you they thought we were shooting hardcore pornography.
Yeah, hardcore. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always wonder what the smell was. So
yeah.
That was you.
That was General Tso's chicken.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Spike Lee. There was an interview. I want to sort of set up this clip first. There's a little bit of context that needs to be understood. And I really want to know, do you genuinely think that Donald Trump could be a racist? Do you think racism has been on the rise since Donald Trump? I don't buy it. I've talked about this, but it seems like now the rhetoric is heating up even more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where they're all trying to paint him as a racist. So the 1619 Project... It's a project from the New York Times, okay?
Yeah.
And it's designed to write a series of pieces showing that everything, basically the basis of America, is its result of slavery, genocide, all of it, everything bad. Yeah. And they've got a number of high-profile celebrities, from Spike Lee to Oprah, trying to promote it. Now, some leaked internal discussions actually show the decision was made to shift the narrative away from the failed Russia story.
Hmm.
So now they're going, Russia didn't work,
let's pivot back
to racist. After Mueller failed to find any collusion, the editor-in-chief, New York Times supposedly at a loss how to cover Trump, so he decided, all right, let's just paint all of America's history as racist and say it's more racist now than ever. It's more racist now than slavery because Trump.
Couldn't possibly be honest.
Right.
I don't know.
Oh my God.
So it's not really about slavery. I want to be clear about this. That's how they're trying to sort of frame this. They just need something to make President Trump look bad by their own admission.
Right. And they're asking this question, like, why are we even asking anymore if he's a white supremacist? They're just saying it. They're not trying to paint him as a racist. They're saying
he
is. Right? That's what they're doing.
What do you think, F. Asian Bill? Do you feel like you've been marginalized more? Half marginalized?
I have been... My white part has been more marginalized, yes, that's for sure. No, I mean, look, there's no question that slavery is a part of our history as a country.
Sure.
Whether it defines the nation And it, to say that is to say that every person who was a part of it, oh, well, did you fight in the as part of the Union Army? No, you must have also been part of slavery as well, right? I mean, there's no nuance to it other than just to say, hey, I don't want you to forget every one of you is a piece of shit. Right? I mean, that's essentially, that's this tagline of 1619, right? Everything you enjoy
Judge
should
Washington,
taste like
don't
ashes.
Dress, asshole.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
there's a sore spot. You still can't ride the Amtrak.
Yeah, but it makes the assumption that the United States would not have been a great country without slavery. So we had all the natural resources. We had great navigable rivers, which turns out to be very important. Yeah. And we had a great system of government that was growing.
We did a whole segment on this. If people go back through the archives, where actually the South was hindered by slavery. If you look at the economic developments that happened in the North, it didn't happen in the South. And that's because slave labor doesn't tend to put in, they're not burning the candle at both ends, and they're not necessarily doing an honest job. And I'm not saying that slaves were dishonest. I'm saying they shouldn't have done an honest job if they were enslaved. Yeah. They should have sabotaged, and a lot of them did. But if you look at the developments, they were hampered by slavery. Yeah. All right, so this is just, I just want to make sure that we set this up so you understand why Spike Lee is making the rounds and is on Anderson Cooper's 360 to plug this 1619 project. You'll be hearing a lot about it. Let's start this off.
This is important to you.
It's very important to me. Because so much, we're not taught this in school.
Right.
You know, we're still dealing with Christopher Columbus and all that other stuff.
What? Yes, we are. Yeah, everyone is taught about slavery in school.
I'm sorry, is Christopher Columbus not real? Or
it's not a real thing.
He didn't land on Plymouth Rock.
I don't. Who?
Wait. So there was American slavery in 1492. That's what was happening.
I don't know
how history works. It's how you teach it. One thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing.
I think the Indians were enslaving other Indians.
It's almost as though it's linear.
Wow. I must. Spike Lee, tell me more.
Is it my meds, or does that?
The good
sound
thing is he's going to be
really
telling you
deep.
A whole lot more. Question number two of the day. Who did not learn about slavery in school? I think a lot of people aren't taught that we are uniquely responsible for ending slavery
in
a lot of ways
point.
In the modern world. But let's go to the next clip.
This country, United States of America, was built upon the genocide of Native people and slavery. I mean, that's a fact.
Well, you can say that. You can say that. That's not necessarily.
That's
going to
be a no for me.
That's a fact.
And by the way, no one wants to minimize here the atrocities that were committed against Native Americans. Back then, we called them Indians, and as Elizabeth Warren says, Redskins. But she's 1,164th, so it's okay.
She can say that.
Native Americans, one thing people don't understand, they were mostly wiped. We've talked about this so many times. I'm sorry I have to repeat it. They were wiped out through diseases that the settlers brought inadvertently because these people had not developed an immunity to them. Out of, the, I think, 250,000 natives, Columbus's first stop, right, in one of the Americas, Hispaniola. I should do the Brian Callen.
Hispaniola.
That later. New diseases wiped out over 230,000 of the indigenous people by 1517. That's nearly 95% of their population. A big part of that, by the way, they hadn't domesticated the horse, right? This idea, if you're coming into contact with a domesticated horse for the first time, this whole idea of bow and arrow, horseback culture, it's a lie. They hadn't domesticated the horse, and they didn't use the wheel.
Yeah, and by the way, when we come and like accidentally kill 95% of you just by shaking your hand, like that's our bad, sorry.
We didn't even know what germs were.
I mean, my bad.
I mean, part of it is like, this is the part where, again, we've talked about this before, where there's just a lack of nuance. When you go to the 1619 Project, and all you want to focus on is one part of history that involves slavery, to use that to push a political agenda today, right?
Yeah.
Then you've ignored the fact that, sure, was slavery part of our history? Did slavery, set certain things in motion in this country? And some would argue it still has some reverberating effects to this point. I think we just disagree on how much effect it still has today and what needs to be dealt with it.
Well,
same with the Native American population. I mean, there's unquestionably atrocities occurred.
Yeah.
But to say it's only atrocities is to ignore the rest of the
history. What I have a problem with is the term genocide. Okay, this is a problem because there are more people with Elizabeth Warren is a perfect example. More people with a percentage of Native American than ever. And that's because most of it was due to interbreeding. We didn't want to kill all of them.
No.
We wanted to marry them. We wanted to have population. But let's look through the most bloody battles, right? Then these certainly did happen. Wounded Knee, you probably know about because you learned about it in school, where it's not taught. 150 to 350 Native Americans killed or wounded.
Yeah.
There were also 25 American soldiers killed, 39 wounded. Listen, it's a little different from a genocide because if you're talking about the Holocaust, like, well, you know what? The Jews got their licks in too. That's not what a genocide is.
Yeah,
like, well,
exactly.
You know, they took out 6 million, but I tell you what, those Jews, they pulled off a couple of million. You know, there was a give and take. No, that's what genocide is a complete extermination. By the way, sometimes massacres went the other way. 1622, is it pronounced?
Powhatan?
I don't know. Indians. They had no casualties in this battle. They slaughtered 347 English settlers.
Yeah,
again, that's not the way genocide usually goes. And don't forget, this is something people don't remember. We don't teach this in history. Native American tribes were warring with each other before we got here.
Lots and lots.
They were incredibly violent. To go south, how do you think Cortez defeated the 500 conquistadors? No, he enlisted the help of other native tribes. We tossed them some fire water and said, listen, these guys have been enslaving you to collect their gold for centuries. How about you try the guys with the metal hats?
Well, and when we show up and we have kind of peaceful relationships with some tribes and then we start to move, you guys were already warring. What you're really doing is basically saying, we're really pissed off that when you came in, you were better at war than we were.
Yeah.
Right? We were already trying to take each other's land, and I was succeeding, and now you kicked my butt, and I'm really pissed about that. Sorry, not sorry. Sorry, guys.
I mean, here's what I will have to say, is that if you jump in and you ask the question of, did we have a right to come in and take this land? I don't necessarily know that there's any particular more or less right between the people who are already here. Is it a first mover's right? I mean, that's the part where the narrative falls apart when you hear people say, well, these were the indigenous people. Oh, okay, so we don't care about the indigenous species that were here before those indigenous people came here. Are they important? Oh, well, yeah, sure, they are more important. And then you're just saying, okay, great, well, so we should just get rid of all people. Yeah. Every single person should leave this country.
Yes, right.
And it just, it falls apart if
and
you follow that
logic.
Something
people don't understand is contact will be made at some point. So let's say we never did back then. Today, a chopper or a plane goes overhead. Guess what? Now it's been made. There's going to have to be a clash of civilizations. When there is a more advanced civilization, they meet, either they adapt, right? Either they become a part of this new, or they get wiped out. That's what has happened always. We're in a unique time in history in that we don't go take over countries that are inferior like Canada. We don't do that because we've advanced beyond it. But this is the way it worked throughout the globe for all time.
Yeah,
atrocities. But the idea that America is uniquely responsible for it, that's the problem I have. Yeah. But again, this is all a thin veil to get to the real reason, which is the 1619 Project. Is Donald Trump a white supremacist?
Why are we still asking, is this guy a white supremacist? I mean, like,
to you,
it's not even a question anymore.
Oh, he's just said okay.
I mean, the Muslims,
I thought the clip froze.
Mexicans, rapists, murderers, drug dealers. I mean, it's the what?
That guy. Before going to Anderson Cooper, Spike was he Lee talking froze. To his wife? He's like, no, nah, listen, I need my heroin and Dame Edna glasses. I'm surprised he didn't just go out. Possums! Look at my Anderson Cooper! I could fit you in my back pocket! What are those glasses?
They're fashion
forward. Why are we even asking if he's a white supremacist? Because most people aren't. Yeah. Only you are. And you're answering your own question, the way. And then he talks about, how can you have so many inaccuracies in one sentence?
It's tough.
The Muslim ban, all Mexicans are racist. Okay, let's just go through this. And then he goes on to talk about the good people on both sides. Listen, there was no Muslim ban. There was never a Muslim ban. All Muslims were never banned from the United States. What you're talking about is an immigration ban on seven countries that were identified as countries of concern from Barack Obama, and they were put on a temporary ban. By the way, Trump enforced it for 90 days. Obama enforced it for 6 months with Iraq. There's no Muslim
ban. That doesn't fit the narrative.
There's never been a Muslim ban. Stop it. Okay? And this is what bothers me. I mean, you know this as a lawyer. Yep. They teach this to politicians, too.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, he's being disingenuous a little bit here, but he could have at least just sort of curbed his language by just saying, you know, he said that Mexicans are rapists. Instead, he said, saying all Mexicans are rapists? You're just making it too easy, sweetheart.
I know.
All Mexicans are rapists. Really? Did he say that's the first thing to tell a politician is don't use words like all, absolutely, completely, totally. And that's why when we do it on this show, we do it by design. If we're 100% certain, like making sure that half Asian Bill Richmond gets me unblocked from Rashida Tlaib's personal account. All Mexicans are rapists. Donald Trump was talking about MS-13.
Mm-hmm.
People who rape and kill women and children. That's what they do.
It's crazy.
That's their calling card. They're the killing women and children bandits.
By the way, did you see Anderson Cooper push back on that? We
have it next. Yeah, so this is the next one. Now he goes on to the one that they paired a lot, that Donald Trump, his justification, along with all Mexicans are rapists and the Muslim ban, is that he praised neo-Nazis, to hear Spike Lee tell it.
He can't make a decision between what's right and wrong, what's love and hate. There's both people. I mean, that's going to be behind this. I mean, that quote, that's going to be attached to him. He's going to be on the wrong side of history, and that's the first thing they're going to say, that quote.
It's interesting because there's now a movement among some Republicans to kind of rewrite the history of what the president said.
What?
No.
Rewrite history? Yes, wow. We are attempting to rewrite history by simply showing a clip of Donald Trump condemning neo-Nazis in his own words.
And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists.
You said it
okay?
twice. Revisionist.
Wow, it's like, you know, all those times when I hear on CNN that Donald Trump has never called out neo-Nazis or white supremacists.
It's like,
and
this
then
video doesn't exist.
You know, I can't believe, look at the amazing made-up videos that people are able to create in the Korean industry. I mean, just like some film studio.
He condemned neo-Nazis the same amount of times in one phrase as Spike Lee was wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
well,
exactly.
But here's the thing. So Anderson Cooper didn't push back on the Mexicans comment. He's a journalist, I thought. I thought he was trying to get to the truth. Didn't push back on that. And then carried his water on this comment and said, yeah, they're trying to rewrite history. Right, Spike? Right? I'm cool, right?
Yeah.
I like your glasses.
I don't think he said
exactly
that, but I'm sure he did.
He said it, Steve.
He probably tried to lift him.
He winked. I saw him wink. There was a wink. There was a wink.
Hey, that pisses me off. He's a journalist.
It was a wink between guys with glasses. G. Morgan Jr. was there, too.
Wait.
Is this a genre of
son
wink?
Son of a gun.
I don't know. I don't understand what's going on. All right. So, by the way, I forgot. Hit the notification bell if you're subscribed, because subscriptions don't mean a whole lot. Yeah. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a rating. And most importantly, do join Mug Club. LadderWithCreditor.com/Mug Club. Not only do you get the full daily show, like hours and hours of content this week that we can never air on YouTube. But my half Asian lawyer, Bill Richmond, is very expensive. So when we're doing our legal stuff with big tech or even representatives like Rashida Tlaib, just understand Mug Club supports that, especially since we've been demonetized.
Yes, yeah. And that's a show. You'll get to see it too.
You know what? This one thing to that point is people only really see like the tip of the iceberg of all the things that we have to fight with on the back, end of things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a constant battle. So Mug Club is what allows us to continue.
I mean, how many tens of thousands just in basic paperwork last year, people making false claims?
I mean, there were, well, between people stealing content, between people accusing us of stealing content, just this week, there was 14.
Yeah.
So, wow.
You know, just having to deal with that. I mean, and it's
glad
it's
we're keeping you busy, buddy.
Is that a big part of before the show, if Bill Richmond, half Asian Bill, tries to come into my office, I say, no, it's only going to make me mad.
Don't tell
me. Do it after the show.
I see him getting in his Zen mood. Yeah,
today,
yeah.
You're being sued by an angry tranny who thinks that you're guilty of hate speech and claims that the socialism shirt is actually her face.
Yes.
I know it's not true, but it might just be worth it to pay this crazy person to go away. I'm like, all right. Mug Clubbers made it happen. All right, let's go out to the thank you, Mug Club. Yeah. Otherwise, we would be crossing the finish line, like in the movie. Was it Small Soldiers with the with the gorgles or whatever it was? The guy's trying to walk and they're all jumping on. That would be us, just with just hundreds of angry trannies and Vox employees trying to do this show. If it were not for half Asian Bill Richmond looking over our shoulder. Yeah. Next clip, talking. Now we go directly to the KKK with Dame Edna Spike Lee.
They're not even hiding. You know, at least the KKK people are too cowards
because
to actually show
their
face.
Because the guy in the White House gave him the dog whistle, come on out.
Gosh.
So our guy's in the White House, so we're good.
I don't think that's how a dog whistle works. It's not like, come on out. It's a silent whistle. Only dogs can hear it. I know. He thinks that they're handing the whistles. Here, let's. Yeah. Silly. Sometimes I like to have a laugh. if President Trump
Mary Poppins?
Is telling the KKK to go for it, as you say, any examples? At all? Yep. Any examples of dog whistles? Or you know what? Any pictures of Donald Trump, even with an actual whistle? I'll take that.
You know, I think what we should know is, remember from that clip with Trump where he was condemning the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, and then it wasn't just enough to do it once, but he did it again. And so after doing it twice, I definitely got the read between the lines is I love neo-Nazis and white nationalists. Right. That's what I got.
Hey. I had my fingers crossed.
Both times.
Anderson 360, more like 160.
What? Is that
epic.
It's going over your head.
I'm sure.
It seems like a kind of insult.
Actually, it's almost
here's the thing.
Turning all the way around.
All of these examples can be easily debunked with
quite.
A quick Google search or a clip, just as quickly as the 77 cents on the dollar pay gap myth.
Oh,
so if it's so obvious, why is this even a question anymore? Well, because you've brought no evidence. How about you show me a clip? Even just one picture. One picture. Anyone, one picture of Donald Trump
with a loud whistle. I'll allow that and apologize. All right.
Not gonna happen.
We have another clip, like, I think, to get to. More Spike.
It's in the dossier. Right, here you go. The whistle.
Let's go.
What do you hope people are kind of reflecting on in terms of the impact of, you know, enslaved people?
Yeah, the generations 1619 project. It's about 1619.
whose names we'll never know.
A lot of these people getting behind this guy, they're going to be in the wrong side of history with him.
Oh, so the project is not so much about American history as it is. Oh. Don't.
With don't him. Vote for Donald Trump, my possums.
What happened in the 16? He is there to plug the 1619 project. Right? That's yeah. why he's there. This is supposed to be a project that teaches people, yeah. educates, because we wasn't taught it in school. Yeah. Right? So why aren't you teaching us now? And instead it's don't vote for Trump. Can you imagine any other scenario where someone is there to specifically plug a particular project? Like, well, tell us about your new film, Pineapple Express 2. I have ass warts. Yeah. What does that have to do? That has nothing to do with the topic
Thank
at
you.
Hand
no,
here.
No, but you know what I do? You know what I do appreciate about it, though? Is it's honest. Because they could have continued to say, no, this is just an educational project. Here we are educating. And it would have been a little bit more, you know, circumstantial to be able to say, oh, you know, this is actually an attack on trying to change voting minds away from the president because of the upcoming election and coincidentally just at the timing of everything. We right. couldn't have done it any other time between now and 1619, but this was the year we were right. going to do it
yeah.
at this very moment in history.
It was a coup.
But that is the part that I appreciate is that the glasses emboldened
him. Lay low
for
4 centuries.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait.
And then bring out the guy who did do the right thing.
Right. I mean, that's the part where you go, hey, yeah, thank you. I appreciate you letting us know that this is just a thinly veiled.
Everything that we believed
move.
The left to be, that they kind of veiled for a long time, you know, kind of like, oh, okay, you know, a little bit of sleight of hand. Now they're just doing out in the open.
Yeah.
And I think there is a silver lining there because now people, like for the longest time, really up until Donald Trump, people thought CNN was legitimate news.
Yeah.
And I had been shouting this from the rooftop like the RICO law guy where I was saying like, no, listen, it's not MSNBC. Your problem is CNN because they present it as though it's actually unbiased. And now we know through these interactions with people like Spike Lee and Anderson Cooper. And you had a good point before.
Yeah, exactly. So by these standards, we'd actually have to say that President Barack Obama was also a racist, right? Against white people, right? Okay, so just hear me out for a second, right?
I don't know if I want to.
You got
to
give me just a second.
Don't hear him out. Dave Martin, doing your
No, no, he not. Ooh, all right, so I'm going to make
the
point here.
As a lawyer
well,
now?
No, you, is there a legal liability here?
Every
so
day.
Just follow me, right? So if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin, right? And then we had Hands Up, Don't Shoot, and we had all right. Yep. We're going to send AG down there to take a look at this. We're going to go through all this stuff, and so Black Lives Matter comes out of this movement, right? Yep. And so you have this massive overreach of Black Lives Matter. Trying to make people think that every white person in America doesn't think that your life matters, especially police officers, even though it was black police officers involved in some of these incidents, right?
Right.
And so there's this massive overreach. What happens typically when there's a massive overreach by one side in one of these things, right? So you have people on this side. There's a big push by people on the other side. I think I would make the argument that Donald Trump is not what has brought white supremacists kind of out into the open. It's a huge overreach by Black Lives Matter that has allowed that. I'm not saying it's the sole cause.
No.
I'm saying it has allowed that to happen because all of a sudden, all these guys who are kind of hiding in the shadows are like, what the hell's going on over here?
Yeah.
These guys are out overreaching, and now public
and by
sentiment
the way,
is against
Obama
that.
Certainly did not condemn Black Lives Matter
no.
as emphatically as Donald Trump has condemned neo-Nazis.
Exactly.
And white
he never did that. So by these same standards, Barack Obama, by the way, you know, newsflash, it's possible to be racist and be black.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not saying he was. I'm saying that if we use these same standards, we have to look at him in the same lens you're looking at Trump. He would be looked at as potentially being a racist person.
Well, the idea, though,
people.
Is that you cannot, maybe black people can be discriminatory, but they can't be racist because they're not in a position of the systemic powers that be, like
Whatever.
The presidential office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't believe it. All this asshole.
And the country's chief lawman, too.
One real quick point is I don't want this to be a message where because Spike Lee and some of the folks who are at the top of the 1619 project that there's a denial of slavery and its impact on those people or even people that in the generations afterwards, right?
Oh, of course not.
Some impact. And this is the important part is that if you're out there trying to think about how to intelligently talk to someone either who's confused about what it is or someone on the other side that's trying to say, oh, you know, this is what the project is, don't bury your head. Go look at the project. Just take it with a grain of salt. Just recognize when there's facts and history versus political message. Like if you want to talk about what today is and how different it is and how we've come as a country and what we are today versus in 1619, you got to know the facts. So well, go look at the facts.
The problem, unfortunately, is obviously the incredible bias. Like Spike Lee is he's sort of the spearhead, or at least seen that way, of the modern black rights movement. Whatever the hell that is now. I don't, you know what? Can someone answer me this?
Whatever.
What rights are they fighting for now? I'm not talking about discrimination. I'm talking about individual races. What rights are they fighting for now when they talk about black rights movement, when they talk about white privilege? I don't know. This could just be me being tone deaf. It could be a blind spot. I don't know. I have a car that it does have some blind spots.
Yeah.
It's Korean. So, no, it's a Korean car. Horrible blind spots.
Oh, I thought you had a Korean blind spot.
No, I wouldn't do that in front of my half-Asian lawyer. But let's look he's Chinese.
Chinese.
Yeah. Can you tell the difference? Like, if you see someone, can you say he's Korean? Instead of Chinese? Anyway,
I can, but I can't with white people.
Spike Lee,
everyone's white.
Black Klansman, Malcolm X, do the right thing. There's a reason he's on the show, right? There's a reason he's been chosen as a spokesperson for 1619. It's because he's seen as a figurehead, right? So he's clearly presented as an authoritative figure on this topic. And he is either demonstrably completely misinformed, or he's deliberately misinforming everybody else. There are only two options. All Mexicans are rapists. The Muslim ban. He said there were fine people on both sides. He supported white supremacists. Either, Spike Lee, you're too stupid to be representative of this movement and this project, or you are lying in order to leverage this to don't vote for Donald Trump. There is no third option. And I think a part of this is these people being misinformed is it's idiot bubbles. Like Spike Lee goes out and says, "Oh, he said all Mexicans are rapists."
Yeah.
He said that he likes white supremacists. He said he didn't like my glasses. It was Tom Hanks said World War II. I remember at one point was based on racism and fear mongering. They're surrounded by people in this entertainment industry, and by the way, that includes the media. Okay, where no one just says, "Huh."
Exactly. Yeah.
What? Right.
There's no checks and
balances. Spike Lee wouldn't go out and spout this if Anderson Cooper, before he went on it, like, anytime we talk about this before the show, and we go through a show map and one of us has a point that we're not quite sure, we go, ooh, I don't think that's the strongest point.
Yeah.
Anderson Cooper could have at least done Spike Lee a favor and we go, you know, like, I'm going to talk about how he said all Mexicans are rapists. Anderson Cooper could have said, wait. He didn't say all. Just remove the word all. But instead he's like, yes, absolutely.
We need more pauses. Jump in, no real quick. No. Hey, you know, we should stick to facts here.
Right. By the way, Warby Parker, I don't know. Spike Lee.
That's an
and
insult to
we
Warby
do have to
Parker.
Get going to Brian Callen, who's going to be on the show. Spike Lee and the people at the New York Times, let me simplify this for you. They are either misinformed or they are misinforming. Period. Neither option is a good look for a legitimate news outlet. That's why Americans don't trust legacy media. All right, Brian Callen, coming up after this. Yeah. Thank you, D. Morgan Jr. Happy Shalom, Bill Lynchman. Hey, it's time for the one live read of the week. Of course, thank you so much to our wonderful sponsor, Walther. Everyone carries Walthers around here. And for people who don't yet know, I think you do. LatterWithCrowder.com/mugclub is how you can support this show. We've been completely demonetized, of course. So you can join up. You get this wonderful hand-etched mug and a full daily show. Hours and hours of content that you couldn't possibly see on YouTube because they would never allow it, as well as the entire Blaze catalog. It's $99 for students, veterans, active military. $69 or $99 if you're not any of those things. And we're pretty generous with a student discount. Like, if you're homeschooled, we'll let you have it. You got an orange belt in karate, you're fine. A black sash and kung fu, I mean, you're going to get your ass kicked, but, you know, we'll let you have the discount. So if you want this show to continue, we do love giving you guys free content on YouTube, but we have a lot more content, and the only way to sustain it is Mug Club. Please join up. Otherwise, don't complain. LouderWithCrowderShop.com, supporting free speech since 2000 and something. With people being banned from social media left and right, you can now purchase this deplatform this limited edition LouderWithCrowderShop.com t-shirt, signifying your insubordinates to authority and request for them to kiss your ass and lick your balls. LouderWithCrowderShop.com today. Hey, Quarter Black, because you're ethnic. What is what constitutes the popping and the locking? At which portion is it? The
pop it out, right? So you start from a position.
Yeah.
You pop it out, and then you lock it into another position, right?
But it seems that the pop. So either way, but it should just be lock and lock.
What?
Because either way, there's no.
You got to pop out of the lock. So you go from one lock, pop it out, and then into another.
This
locker.
Sounds like a very white description. This is the I'm other three quarters.
I'm just trying to be clear.
Our next guest, very happy to have him, and he sees he's popping it and he's locking it. I don't know. Maybe he can answer this for us. One of my favorites. I think he's one of the funniest guys out there. His new special, Complicated Apes, is streaming on Amazon. You know him as Coach Meller, of course, on the Goldbergs, and now the very popular show Schooled. You can follow him on the Twitter at Brian Callen. Mr. Callen, how are you, sir?
I'm just a man, my friend. I'm just a man. Thank you for having me on.
Do you know what the popping and locking is?
Well, I'm obsessed with the Less twins. They are, they do these dances. I don't even know what to say about it. I secretly want, I'll never be truly happy because I'm not a popper or a locker, nor am I a Spanish dancer. I want to speak the language of salsa and merengue and samba fluently, but I don't live in Barcelona.
Right.
I want to eat paella and drink wine in the middle of the afternoon, take a siesta, and then dance the night away. But I also want to grow a goatee. I grew a goatee. My dad, Marine, Midwestern American guy. I had a goatee. I had a little mustache and a little patch here. I went to Italy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's no need to, I don't know why you're saying mustache. They're like, I gotta get merengue the samba. But now you're just throwing an affectation for no reason. But go ahead.
My other languages seep in. I'm sorry. I studied in Europe. All right. But the point is, I'm a cultured man. And I go look at my dad. And my dad goes, how long are you going to keep that stuff on your face? And I immediately got embarrassed. And I went, well, no, I mean, my friends tell me it looks good. My father just whispered. He goes, it's not you. And I ran to the bathroom and shaved that scratch off my face because it's subversive.
It is. When it doesn't work, it really, really doesn't work. Hey, what is your ethnicity there? You know,
Italian. My mother is 100% Sicilian, and my father's Irish, German, you know. Just a big Midwestern kid who grew up on a farm.
So 100% Sicilian on your mom's side. So you probably have more black in you than Elizabeth Warren has Native American. There's probably a good amount.
Yes, I have a lot of fast twitch muscle. That's all I'm going to say. Don't kid yourself. Yeah. I got some hand speed. I got some foot speed. I don't know what that means.
That won't make air.
I got a high tight rump.
That will not make air. Just because I want you to still have a career after this, and everyone's on guard after the Carlos Mazavox.
And
what's going to be said? Hey, so we were talking about this before the break. Different things we wanted to get into. Obviously, your friend Joe Rogan just had Dan Crenshaw on. He's been on the show quite a bit. But before that, you know, I know you've talked with a lot of people on air, sort of conspiracy theorists, and you've been somewhat the voice of reason. I don't want to say somewhat. You've been the voice of reason. I don't know why I was giving myself an out there to give you some kind of a Dame Edna backhanded insult. I have no idea why. You were reasonable. But I'm not a conspiratorial guy. I do think the Clintons have had people whacked. Your thoughts?
Do you really?
Yes.
My thing is, the problem with conspiracies is you're giving people way more credit for being that organized,
that's
true, gutsy, and for being able to keep their mouth shut.
Right.
I mean, in Washington, trying to keep a secret is impossible because everybody's got their own agenda. And it's just like putting a bunch of people in a room. Nobody agrees with each other. Everybody is more ambitious than the next person.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can kind of expose, but, you know, Johnson was so angry at not being able to keep a secret. You listen to the Johnson tapes. He's like, I'm going to put a blind or a one-eyed farmer in charge of my defense, the Secretary of Defense, because I can't keep a secret. And I'm calling the editor of the Chicago Sun and begging him not to run an article because we had this whole cabinet meeting and you guys are leaking information. So in terms of a conspiracy where
gun to your head, gun to your head, you have to, your life depends on it, right? Your family, they're going to be either, they're going to be saying, oh, we're so glad you're with us, or, oh, he was too young. You know, he went too young. So this is, I want to present the finality. Bang, bang. You're not coming back, Brian Callen.
I can disarm you very quickly, but keep going.
Yes.
You know what? I'll romance you. You got a gun in my head.
Yes.
I don't know why I'm panicking. Let's say I'm a regular civilian, but keep going.
That's fair. Do you think they've played a role in someone maybe disappearing inconveniently?
I think if it was politically expedient for Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton, I do think that they have a rather fluid moral compass, if you will.
Right.
I suppose they'd be, I mean, look, the guy's not cooperating. What happened?
Right.
What?
Right.
He had a heart attack? But we've got to now. But now you've got to tell me.
Why does Bill Clinton sound like Miss Maisel? What is this?
What?
And
they cover their mouth. Whenever you kill someone and you know you did it, but you have to feign you know, surprise, you go, what?
Right.
Stephen was so young.
Yeah, so, that and the other dead giveaway is a candelabra. I've played Clue.
Yes, indeed. But I think I had him, had people waxed. Who did it? Who did it? How'd they pay them and why?
Yes.
It'd be difficult. It'd be difficult to get people to sustain that loyalty, take that kind of a risk.
I think right? In Washington, but when we're talking about a lot of it, you know, we're talking about local politics in Arkansas before Washington, and sometimes it's not necessarily directly involved. But listen, I ask because, okay, so I'm not crazy. I'm not a conspiracy guy. That's the one thing where I look at the evidence, I go, I'm not saying, listen, that Bill Clinton made a phone call to Red Bird Flies Tonight and Epstein all of a sudden breaks his neck on a paper bed sheet. That's not what I'm saying. No. But the totality of evidence makes me go,
Well, here's a conspiracy theory. Well, so I think in today's world, it's much easier to destroy someone's reputation. You don't need to go through the process of killing somebody. What you want to do is figure out a way to destroy their reputation, dig up old tweets, dig up things they've said, start a rumor, and you can very easily erase them from the competition.
Right.
That's all you need to do. Right. So it used to be in a Machiavellian sort of sense, you figured out a way to get your hit squad to take that guy out. Don't need to do that so much. A little too messy.
Right.
Nowadays, it's all about, reputation erasure, just erasing someone's reputation, just destroying somebody.
That's true.
And that's easier. The Epstein thing, I have a theory on the Epstein. You want to hear a conspiracy theory on the Epstein thing?
Sure.
You're not dead.
I'm not entirely sure. Because we had Alex Jones on the show, for Mug Club members who talked about the Alex Epstein. So I'm a little bit shell-shocked, but yes.
I got you. No, the only thing I would say is it would make sense if you said he was a Mossad agent and that he had this island and this plane, and the idea was to get very powerful men in compromising situations where they were having sex with young women. Now you got videotape, and you can get some leverage. So a foreign government would find interest in getting people, whoever they might be, different dignitaries and things, and getting political leverage. I guess that's something I could maybe get on board with.
Yeah.
As far as, like, breaking his neck, and no, he hung himself because he had nowhere else to go.
Right. Yeah. Maybe. I think you're right. I think that goes to kind of what you're speaking about as far as reputation, right? In that case, that really you're not. It's not so much about the sexual relationship with minors. It's about the reputation destruction that would ensue after that.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
And that's a good example right there. We know there was a pedophile island. We know there was an island where people were going, where there was sex with underage people. This man was charged with these crimes. We know that's the case. We know a lot of powerful people went there. It just comes down to what were they doing there, and what was going to be done with this information afterward. That's not a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Everyone is filling in the gaps with, okay, now, and by the way, there's nothing to fill in the gaps with that isn't fishy. I mean, it's basically, you're filling in the gaps with StarKist at that point.
Yes, but now, and by the way, the one thing I know of being around fairly, as you get older, your friends, people get successful, you meet successful people with a lot of money, you don't get less of a degenerate. When you get $1 billion in the bank, it's not like now I'm going to not be a degenerate.
Right.
What you can do is ramp it up and control your environment. So if you want to get powerful men to just do business with you or whatever, what do? You just parade a bunch of beautiful women in the room. That's what happens. That's how men operate.
Right.
So, it might just be that. It might be the guy likes young girls because he's a perv. Or whatever, and so do a lot of others.
Wait, what's the or whatever? Why are you giving yourself a back door there? He's a perv or whatever.
Bro, if you're 17, 18, depending, some of that stuff can be legal. I think actually in Vegas, 17 is legal. I don't know.
Exactly. You know exactly. That's what's so unsettling about this. In Quebec, where I'm from, it's 14. And the Liberal Party, I think the Liberals and the NDP, and by the way, I don't mean like the Liberal Party in Canada.
Yes.
In Quebec, we don't really have a conservative voice at all. We have Liberals and then Liberal Separatists, and there's NDP. Mm. And several of those platforms, they wanted to do away with the age of consent at all. And it's 14 in Quebec.
What? They want to get rid of the age of consent totally?
Yeah, there were quite a few people. Like, it was mainstream, yeah. And I understand some arguments on that side in the sense that, like, I've known people who've gone to, I shouldn't say no, but I've had known people who've gone to jail because they're 19 and their girlfriend was 17, and then they break up.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a whole different thing. Someone to be tarred and feathered as a sex offender for life tossed in the same pool.
That's a hard case.
Yeah, as Epstein. Yeah. All right. We don't have a – you know what? Here. Here's what I want to do because I said I was going to throw you a curveball. Now this whole thing has been about conspiracies. Yeah. What we're going to do is go to a web extended for people who have not joined up at Mug Club, and we're going to get into a little bit more about firearms and Dan Gable and wrestling. That is Brian Callen, at Brian Callen. For people watching on YouTube right now, go on over to the Mug Club. You must choose Limbo Bimbo. My name is Mr. Susan.
You must choose, and now it is time for you to do the choosing. Now for Trick Tips with Beto.
Remember, when cops pull you over, you can refuse a breathalyzer. Just say to the cop, "Oh my God, look at that thing." Then run away for the next 20 years.
Don't be a Beto.
Join Mug Club for $99 a year, $69 a year for students, veterans, or active military.
Brian Stelter, there it is. Oh my God. I see you, enemy. I see you, enemy! 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 You are my enemy! You will pay. Yeah, you think I don't see your face, scum? You don't think I don't see you, Stelter? Stelter. You will fall! You will not bring humanity down! God is going to destroy you! Get him off the screen.
Called the disloyal synchronized swimmer.
Oh man,
not a team player, that synchronized
swimmer.
You
just left me.
How did that make the Olympics?
Yeah, that seems really
superfluous. Whenever I hear that they want to remove wrestling from the Olympics, and I go, "What? But you have synchronized swimming and dressage. That's horse dancing. You're not even the one doing the sport.
They still have the one with the gymnastics with the little
with the little ribbons
and stuff.
Not tassels, they're ribbons.
Oh, tassels are like on
what?
They're like on a
you're
jacket.
Thinking of a strip club.
No.
You're thinking of Evel Knievel or Liberace. What are you talking about? Tassels. Tassels and gymnastics. Thank you so much to Brian Callen. Web extended, by the way. We had a pre-tape because he's in California time. There's an extra 30 minutes for those who are Mug Club members. He's a really fun guy. Really smart, too. A lot of people don't give him the credit that he deserves. Introspective guy. And we have some super videos coming up here soon. As a matter of fact, after taping this show, we're going to be traveling to do something quite spectacular, we hope. Or it could be nothing, and if that's the case, you'll never see it.
That's the chance.
All right.
Chance we take.
So, okay. Something that I guess I would like to talk about, because it comes up quite a bit when we're at live shows or we do the life advice behind the paywall. First off, let me preface this. I've talked about this. I kind of have – what I need to work on myself is I have two gears. My wife has always said this, turbo and off. And it's been a real struggle to sort of find that what we call sort of third gear. In other words, I'm going, and I live life at extremes, and then I'm just off, and I don't want to do a whole lot. And finding that energy to kind of still be moving but not in a sprint is tough. That's my personality type. But the worst part of anything is, for me, I realize about myself, is waiting on the tarmac. Is that anticipation of the event, the nerves, the anxiety. Just let you know how I've been, and I think most people are this way, and you may not necessarily notice it. And I did notice a pattern when I went back all the way back to being a kid with auditions, to stand-up shows, to before this show, before every time before we do a live show, or even here in the studio, I'm always just a little bit antsy, a little bit nervous, especially before live shows. It's kind of an unwritten rule, like just don't really talk to me because I won't remember it. I get really, really anxious. And I get really anxious, for example, if we're supposed to do a show and something gets delayed, where I'm sitting there and I'm sitting in a chair going, okay, are we going? Are we not going? Are we going? Are we not going? Big thing, too, was the Christmas show example comes to mind, where we were doing this big live stream, CNN, 16 hours. I didn't sleep for days. I actually punched a hole through a wall. I didn't really mean to. To be fair, it was a very old, brittle wall. It was just like this. I was like, damn it! And it broke, so it sounds more impressive. But it was because things got delayed, and I was sitting there in that holding pattern.
And I think a lot of people live their life in that holding pattern, thinking that the event or what they need to accomplish, what you need to accomplish, is scarier than it is. So this is something I've learned about myself, and you let me know if you've experienced this. Prepare, set a plan, pull the trigger. Do it. Your mind is really your own worst enemy when it comes to these things. Usually what you fear, what you build up in your mind, sitting in the tarmac, waiting the anticipation, is far worse than what actually happens. I've just felt things really deeply. This when I was a kid, I would get dizzy Christmas Eve before Christmas morning. I would go absolutely nuts because I would anticipate it in a positive way. On the flip side of that coin, before every show was the exact same. Before every single competition, I would feel like I was going to throw up. I still often do. But I have realized that usually it's not so bad. I walk out on the stage, and then things fall into place. And even if you bomb, it's not as bad as it is in your mind. Usually what you fear and what you build up is a lot worse. And it's one thing to tell people, or I could tell you right now, just do it. Do the Shia LaBeouf. Just do it! Right? Doesn't help. Doesn't help you. If you fear legitimate harm may come to you if you fail. Right? And I need to be honest, sometimes that's the case. Most of the time, though, almost all of the time, aside from the most extreme examples, it's just an ouchie. You get an ouchie. And that's an important thing. Another difference between injuries, between things that you need to take inventory of this and understand, okay, pull it back, and an ouchie. That's another reason, by the way, in itself to get off of the tarmac, to get out of the holding pattern. Ouchies are actually kind of a good thing. Nicks and bruises, those are good things because those experiences, they toughen you up so you don't get a serious injury. It's the same reason you go to the gym and you're sore right when you start working out and you're getting stronger, but oh my gosh, it's miserable. But you're doing that so that you don't throw your back out when you lift your kid up. You're trying to get stronger in the gym in a controlled environment where you can challenge yourself and just pull that trigger. Do it. Start doing it. It's never as bad as you anticipate. Let me ask you, what would you rather have, okay? 10 scrapes and bruises, cuts, nicks, or one broken femur? Because those scrapes, those bruises, they represent engagement, repetitions, training, practice. In and of itself, it makes you less prone to serious injury or maiming. And let's be honest, a life without any skinned knees, think of a childhood. Think of any kid you know who never skinned a knee, never had a few stitches. That's a crappy childhood. It's not a life worth living. If you just played, for example, in the big game, and you come out without a scratch, what does that mean? That usually means that someone else was moving up the field. Someone else was making the big scores or the big saves. And most of the time, not always, I know someone's going to say, well, I thought so when I got cancer. I understand, extreme example. Most of the time, they lived to play another game. So I want you to do something for me, a little exercise. I want you to think about something that you've been wanting to do but feels maybe insurmountable. Or maybe not even insurmountable, just overwhelming. We all get that feeling sometimes, being overwhelmed, right? I get it daily. Maybe it's a project. Maybe it's a family issue that needs resolving. Maybe it's getting in shape. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's cleaning your room on serotonin reuptake inhibitors. You're a lobster, for all I know, and you've read Jordan. I have no idea. Just something that's been lingering on your to-do list that you know is important for you to do, but you haven't gotten to it yet. Okay? I want you to take a second. I want you to think of something. You got it? Now, ask yourself honestly, why haven't you done it? Why are you still sitting on the tarmac? Get off of it. The tarmac is the worst part. It's loud, it's hot, it's sweaty, and you're not moving anywhere. What do you have to do right now to get off of the tarmac? Hit your pilot checklist and do it. Set a plan, and at some point, good enough is good enough, just pull the trigger. Go. What you fear, the unknown, just like a monster movie, the unknown living in that holding pattern, it's undoubtedly worse than what is most likely to happen, even in a worst-case scenario. And that's no way to live. Make a plan, pull the trigger, get off the tarmac. Let me know how it works out. See you next week.